First of all, as we begin, Merry Christmas to all of you. This is a wonderful time of year to gather as family, to gather as friends. But the reason for the season is to really meditate, reflect on who is Jesus Christ and how does he want to enter more fully into our own personal lives, into our family lives, into our marriage. Take a look at the readings today. Is it a kind of overview in last night's reading? Jesus Christ is not a kind of mythical figure, like someone who was born far away, long ago, in a kind of never-never land. But rather, the scriptures are very precise. They say it was during the time of Caesar Augustus, who was emperor. It was during the time of Quirinius, who ruled in Syria. It was during the time of Herod. And on, we narrow it down to this precise time, this precise place of Bethlehem in Judea. Jesus, the fulfillment of the prophecies. We sometimes get this idea that Christmas is something so nostalgic. And it is. It's beautiful. We all have fond memories. But when we take a look at this crib, for us to look back at that first Christmas in that first century, it was anything but nostalgic. It was a very dangerous time to live. Mary and Joseph were fully aware of what they were doing, because for them to think that they have the Son of God, this is a threat against all the powers that be. And they knew that their lives were in danger and the life of this little child. Oh, they received the praise of the shepherds, they received the praise of the wise men, but they were not fooled by the danger that they were in. They were ignored by 99% of all the people. And then, a few days after Christmas, they would be hunted down like animals by King Herod. That's the first Christmas. What is it that they had that we need to have? There's a virtue that they had that we need to have that we also see in the writings of the readings for today. St. John, powerful prologue to his gospel. There is no fooling him. He is so confident. Now, John the Apostle, as he writes this, most of the other apostles have died. They've been killed. It was a time of persecution. It was a very difficult first century. But John speaks with confidence. Why? He says, we've experienced this God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then he goes on, read this through slowly after communion. It's just a powerful reading of him saying, this Jesus is not just a human being, this is God made flesh. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We saw his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son. How could John the Baptist say, he is greater than me because he existed before me? John was older than Jesus. It is because John realizes that there's something in Jesus. He's not simply human being, but his divinity has pre-existed all existence. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, God, Jesus Christ, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him. So what virtue do we need to have? It's the virtue of hope. And this is a virtue that I think is so necessary in our world today. I've talked about it in the last couple of weeks, because we look at the world. There's so many people sad, economically, politically. There's so many people, another shooting the other day. And you look at the world and you say, what's happening to us? This is one of the times of Christmas that I've seen people sort of down more than ever. This is a time that we need to be reminded as Christians, as I said on the other Sunday, or on Sunday, we've been here before. And the vision of Christmas is that we can have, and here's the virtue, hope. Hope based on trust. This is an important virtue because it brings us from here to here. What is here? We need to have faith. Faith is an acknowledgement of God's presence in our life. It's an acknowledgement. I hold these things to be true. But that's the foundation. We need to move beyond that. That's like the husband who says, oh, yeah, I know my wife exists. Well, that doesn't take us very far. It's a good starting point. We need faith. We want to get to this virtue over here, which is love. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's a love that lays its life down for God, for others, selfless. But this virtue in the middle is the doorway that we must cultivate if we're going to go from faith to love. And this virtue is hope. Hope is a trust. It's a walking with. It's a trusting of the person. I'd like to use an example, a kind of analogy today. It's going to be a red barn. This red barn, when I was a kid, well, I'll tell it this way. I used to give retreats over at our farm. When we would give retreats, we'd have like 20 kids at a time, anywhere from grade school to high school. We'd be up at the campfire at midnight. We'd turn off the yard lights, and then we'd walk hand in hand. We'd walk down in the absolute darkness through the barn, up the stairs, into the haymow, into the hay. And we'd have the kids in total darkness sit down in on the bales. And then I'd say, I want to tell you about the red barn. How many of you would ever have gone in this barn alone tonight? No way, they said, never. I said, I understand. I said, I want to tell you about the red barn and how it applies to us. Because see, when I was a kid, we played in the red barn all the time. But when it came time for nighttime, no way. I never went in the barn at night because I knew there could have been bad things in the barn. I could hear the bats and the hauntings and everything else. But there are some times, and I remember one particular time that I had to go into the barn. Dad, would you go into the barn? No, you take my hand. My dad took me by the hand, took me into the barn. He was trying to teach me that you have to overcome your fears. You don't overcome your fears by facing fear alone. You overcome fear by taking someone trusted by the hand. And I remember as I took Dad by the hand, I could hear the bats squeaking and making noise and flying, and one flew right near me. And I thought, I'm not scared. I got my dad by the hand. See, that's trust. When you have that trust, then fear is gone. But you got to have somebody worthy of that trust. So I told the kids, I said, what my dad taught me in that lesson is that something about life. Life has many scary barns, scary realities, things that are greater than I. And I get so scared. And I want to be able to say, God, take away my fears. And Jesus Christ says, no, I'm not going to take away the red barns. Take my hand. Take other good people by the hand. And I'm going to teach you how to find my presence and my peace in the darkness of your red barn. Then I'd have the kids. I'd say, what are your red barns? All these little kids. We had this one long spread of ages, this one time in particular. And, well, my parents are going through a divorce. Yeah, my brother beats me up. And school is real hard for me. And my friends don't like me. And, oh, they went through all the fears, all the red barns in their lives. We said, can we make a prayer about how important it is for us in our little parish? This was St. Joseph Altdorf. How we can take each other's hands and we take Jesus by the hand. It was a very powerful retreat. It all happened in the darkness of the red barn. An example of somebody in my life, I'll give you two examples. Years ago, I worked down in Kentucky as a volunteer for Glenmary Missionaries as a college kid. And my job was to go to this house, little old lady, Miss Annie, lift her out of bed, put her in a wheelchair, come back at night, and put her back. She told her story. She was a nurse in World War I. And she wanted to be strong. She wanted to be able to give her life in service, but then she got multiple sclerosis. She became paralyzed. Legs, arm, she only had one arm left that she could do something. She became so embittered, so angry, that was her red barn. She could not find God's hand in her red barn. There was another lady, Miss Irene. Miss Irene, her husband abandoned her for another woman. She had all the reason in the world to become a bitter, angry woman, but she did not. She was able to find the Lord's presence in her red barn. And as she discovered faith in the darkness of her own life, she was able then to hear the Lord say to her, "I want you to go into the red barn of Miss Annie, because she can't find me." So Miss Irene, this woman wounded by her ex-husband, takes that trust that she learns from Jesus, goes into Miss Annie's life, this angry woman, and she befriends her and starts to take care of her. Little by little, after a couple of years, Miss Annie starts to mellow. She even learns how to pray. And Miss Irene says, "Miss Annie, if you would like, I could come and live with you and take care of you." Miss Irene moved into Miss Annie's house, just a poor little rat trap house down in Beaver Dam, Kentucky. She took care of her for many, many years. And now, Miss Annie found the Lord's hand in her red barn. One of my last days, I said, "Miss Annie, what message would you have for anybody that I talk to in the future?" So this woman, paralyzed except for the use of one hand, she says, "You tell people how important Jesus Christ is. That if you learn to take him by the hand, no matter what happens, he'll get you through." About 5, 6, 7 years later, I came back to Kentucky, and by this time, Miss Annie, she had Parkinson's too, and she was shaking, and she could no longer be taken care of at home. She went to the nursing home. Miss Irene went every day she could make over to see her. I walk in the room. Miss Annie is shaking like a leaf. And I said, "Miss Annie, how are you doing?" "Real good, real good." And she said, "Jesus is with me." That little old lady, I thought, that is a marvel. I saw a saint that day. I sang for all her favorite songs, "How Great Thou Art," "Old Rugged Cross," "Amazing Grace." And then I said my last prayer with her, and I knew I'd never see her again. What did they have that the people of the past had, the saints? The virtue of hope. Hope walks with the Lord, taking him by the hand. One last example. Many years ago, when I was teaching at Assumption High School, when I started teaching there, there was a young girl, 15 years of age. Her locker was right outside the door. Shyest girl I ever worked with. And her sister came and said, "Father, keep an eye on her. She's just so painfully shy." I started coming in early at 7 o'clock, and I'd talk to her a little bit, She would hardly ever talk to me, but she'd write notes because it was hard for her to talk. She had a lot of fears inside. With time, I invited her to come into the retreat team, come to the parish, and do activities. I spent more time with her than any kid I have ever worked with in my life. I talked to her about the red barn. And she said, "What do I do?" I said, "You work on one red barn at a time." Every time I'd see her after she graduated from high school, I'd say, "What red barn are you working on?" And it was about a year after high school, she said, "I'm going to do something really scary." She said, "I'm moving to Santa Cruz, Bolivia for 9 months. I'm going to learn Spanish. I'll work with the parish there. Then we'll see where that goes." She said, "I have no idea what God's going to do with my life." She came back from that. She started nursing, a nursing degree. She went to Oshkosh. I introduced her to a priest who works with the poor, Father Marty Carr. She entered into another red barn, how to meet with people. I saw her 6 months later. Father Carr says, "I want you to meet the new director of our women's abuse center, Carla. She's taking care of the women in the women's abuse center." She learned how to try to find God in her own red barn, and then she's extending that to others. She became a bilingual nurse, went down to Texas. Father Sebastian heard about her. Father Sebastian at Casa Hogar, and he said, "I want that lady down in Casa Hogar." So I called up Carla. Carly. I said, would you go down? She said, I'll think and pray about it. She went down. A couple months later, she wrote me a letter and said, I'm in the wrong place. This is not my place. She said, I'm going on a retreat with the nuns who teach here at Casa Hogar. 30-day silent retreat. Oh, she was good at that. And at the end of that retreat, she wrote me a letter that was so powerful. She said, Father, I now know my destiny. I know what God wants me to do. I will leave Casa Hogar. I will join these sisters, las hijas de Nuestra Señora de la Piedad, the daughters of Our Lady of the Pietà, Our Lady of the Cross. And I will work serving the poorest of the poor for the rest of my life. She entered the order about 4 years later. I came and I gave a retreat to the sisters, and then because of the bishop, the schedule, I was the priest who received her vows in front of 500 people in Lima, Peru. She sang a solo that day. Well, that was another Red Barn. And at the end of the Mass, I went up to her and I said, Sister Carla, you are now 30 years of age. This is September of your 30th year. I met you in your 15th year in September. What would you have said had I come to you at age 15 and said, Carla Harrison, I'm going to speak prophetically. 15 years from this month, you and I are going to be in a foreign country. You are going to join a religious order of which you are the only one who speaks English. When you receive your vows, I will be the priest receiving your vows, and then in front of 500 people, you will sing a solo. And then you will serve the poorest of the poor for the rest of your life. What would you have said? She said, I would have run away. Isn't that interesting? I think that God doesn't reveal our missions in life because we're not ready for it. She could not receive it at that time, and that's why God prepared her and prepared her. She was 30 before she really was confirmed in that mission. She continues on. Yesterday, she called me. She works in a nursing home in Lima. I was with a family at the time. I said, Sister Carla, guess what? Today, I'm going to talk about a theme that is very important. What do you think it's going to be? She said, the Red Barn? Yeah. I said, I'm going to talk about you. When she made her final vows 2 years ago, she had to make a symbol of her spirituality, of her walk with the Lord. And she would give it to the present it to the Cardinal of Lima. And so what she did is she took a hunk of wood from the garbage and carved. She's not an artist at all, but she had like a steak knife and a screwdriver and a couple other utensils, a razor blade. And she made this. She had the photo of the Red Barn. And she told me, she says, Father, my whole life has been based on learning the lesson of the Red Barn. And see, once we discover God's hand in our own fear, might be sickness, it might be tragedy, it might be a broken marriage, it might be a difficult family life, work life, whatever it is. Once we discover God's hand, and we have to take good people by the hand, that's why it's so important we come to Mass. Because see, when we come to Mass, we take the Lord by the hand, we receive the Eucharist. When we live a sacramental life, we receive God's help, and we hold the hands of other people. When we isolate ourselves, when we find that I don't need to go to church because I can do it alone, that's like going into the Red Barn alone. That is why I think we have so much depression, so many problems, because we don't understand that God calls us as a people. But see, then your life gets more complicated. Once you find Jesus in your own Red Barn, then the rest of your life is. Jesus says, see that person over there? They can't find me. Would you go into their Red Barn? And then our mission is to go into their tragedy, to walk into their hurt, their pain, their distrust. Take them by the hand and teach them how to take the hand of God. And when you finish that, and Jesus says, I got somebody over here. Would you do that over here? The most effective people I see in the church today are people who live by that principle. Because they say, I will take the Lord by the hand, and then my mission is to go into people's lives and help them and serve them. Sister Carla works in a nursing home. She's a head RN at this nursing home for street people. Her day begins at 4:30 in the morning, ends about 10:30 at night. She has a tough life. But when I ask her, are you called to this? She says, yes, I am. And that's what drives her. She says, I've got the Lord by the hand, and he will give me the strength that I need. This is what is needed in our church today. We go to church, we pray, we say our prayers, and we're very good maybe at the faith level. I believe in God. I do my little things over here. But see, the mission of the church is over there. It begins here, but that's where our vocations are found. As we learn to trust in God, we walk with him, then the Lord will send us into the mission field. See, if we don't develop trust and hope, we will never discover our vocation and our mission in life. The young people that I've worked with in vocations for the last 10 years, they all follow this progression. Because nobody discovers their mission, their vocation in life, unless they learn discipleship, unless they learn how to walk with the Lord. What God can't do with a parish of this size? He could do great, great things. And so my prayer, I would have loved to have spent more time here because there's a lot of little red barns in this parish. But we've had 6 months, and I used every minute I could, and I think we used our time well. But for whatever reason, I'm convinced that now I need to go to another red barn. There's lots of things that are going to be hard to get used to. But that's my mission. I wonder what your mission is. I ask you to think about that. For a Christmas card, I made a bunch of these little cards. The Red Barn. Kathy, do you recognize that picture? It's her barn. That's their barn. I needed a photo. But this is a picture that my sister, a nun, missionary in Germany, daughter of St. Paul, painted for me years ago. This is the most valuable picture that I have right there, made by my sister, because it summarizes our life. It summarizes our Catholic faith. I share it with you in the hope that each of us might submit to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, teach me. I invite you to take my hand and help me to take other good people by the hand so that we can really live our Catholic faith. There's so many needs in our world today. This is the vision of Christmas, that Jesus says, all this is possible. We don't change the world overnight, but if we're willing to take the Lord by the hand, we will be his instruments of the peace that Jesus came to give 2,000 years ago and now wants to give now to these people and the other souls that he places in your life.